So this is a joint work done with Jia Qizhang and Professor Stephen Savage. Today I'm going to discuss about reassembling web services for unintended purposes. The Web 2.0 brings us not only a super rich set of web contents, but also inspires the proliferation of web services in the form of publicly available APIs. This leads to the so-called mashup programming model. Under this model, users could easily combine services or data to create new services that are beyond the scope of the original service. For example, with a few lines of code, one could easily link the Google map with the rental information to create a neighborhood rental price map. Clearly, this model promotes agility and ease of deployment. However, these conveniences are at the cost of clean semantics guarantees. So given the widespread use of mashup programming style, attackers could take advantages of this model and try to compromise client security. Of course, a lot of efforts goes into browser in defending such attacks, like cross-site scripting and request forgery. In this talk, we suggest that there could be a new class of security concerns. In this mashup, clients could turn around the mashup model and abusively use the web services for unintended purposes. In fact, the abusive use of web services is not entirely new. In the past, we have seen Gmail Drive, which turns the Gmail into a cloud file storage. Also, the Graffiti network tries to store their online file content as spams on block websites. Here, we go one step further and argue that users could reassemble multiple web services for unintended purposes. And by stitching these pieces of web service together, they could create new capabilities that none of the web services are able to produce on its own. As the talk goes on, in this example, we demonstrate that the new capabilities would permit denial of service attack, as well as IP address laundering. As a proof of concept, we build a web proxy based on a number of unrelated web services. I just want to back up a little bit. I'm not saying that this is the best way of implementing a web proxy. It's just the sole purpose of this is serve as a demonstration to show that such security risk is real, and the security concern is justifiable. We concentrate our implementation efforts on the two mostly used HTTP methods, HTTP GET and HTTP POST. When searching for relevant web services, we focus on the essential functionality of a service and ignore any formatting details. However, when using these web services, we will reformat the input and output to satisfy the API requirements. Sometimes we may have to use additional web services to do the formatting. Finally, when responses are collected, we will rewrite the response and in a way that this entire process looks transparent to the web browser. In fact, you may think, oh, this the web proxy looks easy. Seems to just go ahead and download the web page. In fact, there are many things going on in the process of downloading a web page. I'm not going to bother you with this mess details. In a high level, in order to get a web proxy to work, apart from HTTP GET and HTTP POST, you also need to take care of any HTTP redirect, because sometimes a web page may contain links to external resources. I'm going to skip the detailed story on how we actually look a particular web service and how the web service API is used. So first we look at HTTP GET. The particular web service that came into our attention is Google Spreadsheet API. Inside the Google Spreadsheet, it has a very handy function named import data, which allows you to retrieve content online. So this is an example how it looks like when you try to open a UCSD website in Spreadsheet. However, this method does not allow non-SK content. So for example, if you try to load an image in Spreadsheet, basically you get garbage characters. Luckily, we're able to find another web service called Content Serve API, which allows us to retrieve non-SK content. This is how picture looks like in spreadsheet. With this, unfortunately, this web services does not handle HTTP redirect properly. So we continue our search for other APIs. And it turns out that Facebook does have a debug API which display all the meta information regarding a URL link. So from there, we could extract any redirect information. However, given the services we have, we still couldn't do HTTP post. So we continue our search for other web services. This is how it looks like. When you try to do HTTP post, it shows that it's not supported. The good thing is that given the abundance of web services, we could always rely on the luck that we could find someone, essentially. So it turns out, yes, the Google Gadget caching API is able to perform HTTP post. Here is a list of web services we utilized. And the following diagram shows a high-level overview of how the cloud proxy works. So your browser sends a request to a proxy, and then the proxy will consult the Facebook API to decide whether there's any HTTP redirect. If so, depending on the request type and the request action, you will consult different web services. You will talk to different web services and collect results. Once the result is returned, you will rephrase the response in a way that this process looks transparent to a web browser. So we go ahead and implement this web proxy in Python and tried a number of different web tasks. To perform a sanity check and ensure that there's no traffic going between the browser and the actual website, we use Wireshark to dump all the network packets, and we then examine the source and destination IP address. Indeed, all the IP addresses are for the IP blocks of the service providers. So clearly, the web proxying, the capability of web proxying is not provided by any of the web services we utilize alone, nor any of these web services were intended to be used as a web proxy. However, by stitching these pieces of web services together, indeed, we create this new capability of proxying. So what could be the possible security implications that this new capability imposes on various network parties? So if you look at web content providers' perspective, today, they commonly use IP-based content restriction to protect their copyrighted material. With this web proxying, you could essentially bypass this IP-based content restriction. In addition, users could launder their entire web activity through the IP blocks of the service providers and essentially obtain anonymous web access. Furthermore, because those web services were never intended to be used as web proxies, as a result, some of the HTTP methods were not implemented correctly. For example, the HTTP range method is only respected between your browser and the service provider, but not between your service provider and the actual website. This asymmetricity would allow a malicious user to launch denial of service attack. Finally, because the web services are abusively used, so less resource will be available for legitimate use. So the high-level message we want to deliver in this talk is that users or clients could easily reassemble multiple web services for unintended purposes. And by stitching these pieces together, they could create new capabilities. Furthermore, they might engage in unlawful web activities under the good reputation of these web service providers. We figure out the root cause of such security concern is due to lack or difficulty of security policy enforcement of these web services by the service providers. That concludes my talk, and thank you for your attention.